When I saw that NBC had announced a deal to do a show this fall called Phenomenon, starring Chris Angel, who's got that Mind Freak show, Mind Freak, on the A&E network, and Uri Geller, a guy who came to fame some 30 years ago by claiming to bend spoons and keys with his mind and claiming it was natural or supernatural ability and not just a good trick, I thought, well, we got to get my old friend James Randi back on the phone to talk about this. He's the head of the James Randi Educational Foundation, based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and one of my heroes. Hi, Randi. How are you?
Hello, Paul.
Good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
So let me read you from the press release for this thing, in case you haven't seen it. NBC has signed a series deal with mystifier/artist Chris Angel and famed mentalist Uri Geller for Phenomenon, a mysterious live competition series in which both men will conduct an intensive search for the next great mentalist. Now, I remember I had you on here a few months ago, and you told me there was a similar show that Geller had been involved in Israel, which had actually brought quite a bit of ridicule to him, right?
Well, it was called Successor, Paul, and Geller was actually trying to get people to believe that he was looking for his successor. Not very likely.
Yeah.
No, not very likely, no. It's like Bush wandering around in the Rose Garden saying, I got to have a successor here someplace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. And the I think NBC got sort of hypnotized by the fact that the show in Israel got huge numbers. You know, the figures were just astonishing. But they were astonishing for a very special reason. Geller had been caught red-handed doing one of the tricks. And people were tuning in, I guess, to see whether he was going to get caught again.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, the press took him apart. I mean, Ma'ariv, the major newspaper in Israel, and all the rest of them, every last media outlet you can imagine, just said that Geller was such a dud. I mean, he's a three-trick pony. He's only got three tricks, and he's been doing them for 35 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where NBC gets the idea that Geller can actually carry off a series like this. It's strange, because what he did on his successor show in Israel was lame. It was mostly talk.
Their press release says that the series Phenomenon, based on a successful Israeli version judged and monitored by Geller, which achieved a historical record-breaking viewing audience, will test 10 hopeful mentalists who must compete each week to demonstrate a wide spectrum of mystifying talents on a panel of weekly celebrity guests. I'm guessing David Hasselhoff has another job, who will participate along with a studio audience. Geller and Chris Angel will assess the contestants and offer their unfiltered opinions. Ultimately, the winner's fate will be determined by the viewers at home. The viewers at home who, of course, are easily tricked, because I'm not a professional magician. I see these guys doing these things, and I say, well, that's a pretty good trick, but I don't know how they did it. You, as a professional, you do know how they do it. Are you bothered by the fact that people like Geller claim that they're not doing a trick?
Of course, yes. That's, to me, totally unethical. It misleads people, and magicians mislead people the same way actors do. When you see an actor on screen playing the part of Louis Pasteur or something, you don't believe that he's an ancient Frenchman that's been dead for a century. let's get real here.
Yeah.
And when you see a Shakespearean actor doing Hamlet, he doesn't ask you to believe that he's an old prince from Denmark. I mean, he doesn't really ask you to believe that, does he? But that's what Geller is asking you to believe, that he really has power, that he's some sort of a sorcerer or something. I don't quite know what his picture of himself is.
I would hope that NBC would put some sort of disclaimer on the show, but even if they do, I'm sure it would be on for a microsecond at the very end of the show.
Yeah, in small type.
Flashing by even with less time than 2020 gave you on their John of God series.
Yeah, even less time than that, my goodness.
Which many of us wouldn't have thought possible, considering you only got about 8 seconds.
Yeah.
What do you think of the involvement of Chris Angel, who's very popular now with this A&E show and just signed a deal with the Luxor out in Las Vegas to do a show there?
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris called me the other day, and we spent about an hour and a quarter or so on the phone. I hadn't spoken to him in quite some time. I knew him back when he was really getting started. I was the one who designed his first business cards for him, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
So we go way back, Chris and I. And Chris wanted to call to assure me that he wasn't going to let Geller get away with any of the supernatural claims nonsense, that he was going to come down on him and say, no, that's a trick. You know, I don't know whether it's going to happen or not, Paul. I certainly might hope that it would happen, although if Geller wants to say that he's a magician or a mentalist, and let's get that term mentalist straight, too. A mentalist in the trade that that we belong to, not you and you, but my colleagues and I belong to, we recognize the word mentalist, the term mentalist, as meaning a magician who appears to work with mental powers of some kind of precognition and telepathy and various things like that. But mentalists don't try to claim to anybody, or shouldn't try to claim to anybody, that they've really got the powers, because they can be defeated at that immediately. Anybody like myself can come right along, put them to the test, and they fall on their collective nose.
News Talk 1120 KMOX, Paul Harris talking to James Randi at the James Randi Educational Foundation in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. While we're talking about mentalists, let's talk about a guy by name of Banachek, who you've known for a very long time, and I've only met him because of the amazing meetings that you've been putting together for several years now, and he actually performed at the amazing meeting back in January in Las Vegas. He actually is a consultant to Chris Angel's A&E show and appears on there every once in a while, and I guess helps him with some of the tricks that are on there. And his performance is a mentalist act, but he even announces at the beginning, I'm not doing anything supernatural. These are all tricks. Now let's have a good time. I mean, I'm paraphrasing him.
Yeah. And at the end, he says what you've seen was not genuine mental powers. It was a series of tricks. I hope you've enjoyed it. Good night.
Tell me a little bit about your history with Banachek, because it does go back a number of years.
Oh, yes. Well, it started in the year 2, I think. It was a long time ago. And I was contacted by Steve. He was living, I've forgotten where he was living at that moment. It was well out of town. I was living in Florida at the time. And he contacted me by mail and said that he liked the kind of thing I did and such, and that if I ever got a chance to send somebody to infiltrate a parapsychological lab just to show them that they can be fooled, someone who would pose as a genuine subject for experiments and then hornswoggle the scientist and then say, see, I hornswoggled you. That was the idea.
And he was just a teenager at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just a young kid. And he was from South Africa, and he had just come there with his brother. And pardon me, I'm overcome with emotion when I talk about this.
I understand.
And yes. So he just sent me this letter, and I thought, oh, how interesting. I gave him a call. We talked on the phone. And that was it. I put it into a file, and I thought, where am I going to file it? Oh, I'll put it under Alpha. That's a good way to start. And so that dropped into the Alpha file, and I promptly forgot about it. And I got a letter, matter of a couple of weeks after that, from another fellow who said the same kind of thing. And Mike Edwards was his name, and he was in a different part of the country again and didn't know anything about Steve Shaw, who became Banachek eventually. And so I put them both in the Alpha file, and then came this newspaper announcement saying that the Washington University in St. Louis had been given a couple of $1 million by the McDonnell Aircraft Corporation head, and he wanted to find out whether there was life after death because he was in his 90s. That's a good time to go for it, you know. And I guess he had determined that if he didn't have to go, he wouldn't go. He had the money, you know.
Yeah.
And so they convinced him. I don't know how they did this. They convinced him that if they were to study kids who could bend spoons with their minds, ho, 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 that would lead to an answer as to whether or not there's a life after death.
So researchers here in St. Louis at Wash U got funding from this guy at McDonnell to set up some sort of paranormal testing facility?
That's right. And so I immediately got a hold of both the kids, and I told them separately. I said, hey, write them a letter that sounds convincing. You know, you apply to be one of the kids being tested, but you've got to have a good paradigm. That was the big word in parapsychology at the moment. And I said, you've got to come up with it on yourself, on your own, you know, something that'll match you. So Steve came up with a great one. He said that when he lived in South Africa, that his parents would never let him go down into the root cellar. Now, that's a dank place downstairs under the ground, and because they had rat traps down there. And when he went near rat traps, they would fire off. Now, you can't invent that kind of thing, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's ingenious. And Mike Edwards came up with the notion that when he was in utero, his mother was burying him as an unborn baby, she backed into a cattle fence that was electrified, got a shock, and he was born psychic. these are things you cannot invent. This is very imaginative.
Yep.
They bought both of these kids as genuine psychics. And the kids then got together by phone, and finally they met in St. Louis, and they proceeded to fool the laboratory people with the provision that, A, if they were ever asked, are you doing tricks? Immediately say yes, and James Randi sent us in here. And if they were ever asked if it was a trick, then they'd start to explain the thing, and you know that they would, and they would never allow the lab to go into print with an official paper saying these kids are genuine. But they would reveal it shortly before that might have happened, so the scientists wouldn't be embarrassed. And both of those things eventually happened.
And so they got together with you before coming here to St. Louis, and you told them some things that they could do that would make it look like they really had paranormal powers?
Well, they pretty well invented that themselves, Paul. That's the beautiful part. I wanted them to do it as their project. And if they asked me for some advice, I might push them in the right direction. But what was fascinating about it was that they would call me right after they had done something at the lab. Now, they did this over a period of several years and holiday periods, you see, because they were both going to school. And so they would call me and say, oh, guess what he did today? He did this, that, and the other thing. And I would then write to Phillips, as if I knew nothing about this, and say, by the way, if the paper you're testing ever do so-and-so and such as, you should do this and that, you see, and giving him suggestions. Now, you'd think it might dawn on the guy, wait a minute, he's recommending that I do something about something that just happened in the lab, but that never dawned on him, apparently. And he would read the letters to the kids next time he saw them, and he would laugh and say, could you imagine what this man, he's not a scientist, you know, he's a magician.
Uh-huh.
Oh, really? You know, they would say, waiting to be asked, are you tricksters, you know, and they would not be asked. I mean, this guy would not ask them. I think it was a sort of inherently some sort of psychological thing where he didn't really want to know, so he never asked them.
Or he went into this with his own conclusions already made up before doing the research.
Oh, yeah. That was true, too. And he also was quite convinced that he couldn't be fooled because they were only kids.
Right. No teenagers could possibly come in and fool an adult, especially one who's already got his mind made up.
Because we know that kids don't lie, do they?
I love that story about how these guys were able to go in there and fool that. And then, of course, Steve Shaw decided to go into the showbiz side of this and take some of the things that he had been doing and learning and others, and has become one of the top mentalists, and not only performs on stage all over the world, but also is one of the consultants to the Criss Angel Show. Well, coming back to what we started talking about, I hope that NBC does hear from the skeptic community in this country about this project that they're doing with Geller. I certainly will be talking about it to expose it as the trickery that it is. I don't want to call it fakery, because what he's doing is actually happening. It's just not happening the way he claims it is happening, right?
Exactly.
Well, I will keep speaking out about this, and I know you will as well. And when the show finally does air, I'd love to have you come back on and talk about what we've both seen, because here we are speaking about a show that is just in production now and won't air until the fall. Let's wait till we see the final project, and then we should have some really good material to go after.
Well, I hope somebody teaches a good card trick to Geller, because he knows nothing else. And I mean, he moves a compass, he reads the contents of a sealed envelope, and he bends spoons. Duh! Three-trick pony.
Three tricks for three decades.
And for 35 years, he's done the same old nonsense.
It's unbelievable. Randi, always a pleasure having you on.
Thank you, Paul, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely. You can find out more about the James Randi Educational Foundation by going to randi.org, and information on next year's The Amazing Meeting, which will be in June in Las Vegas. And I'll be going there and telling you more about that as well, all here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.